I believe this morning we are going to the book of Daniel, Old Testament. Daniel is the fourth of the four major prophets. We have four major prophets. We have Isaiah, we have Jeremiah, we have Ezekiel, and we have Daniel. And I'm going to read Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Just three short little verses. God's word says this: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Let's pray. Father, as we read these three short little verses and look at the conviction of these three young men, Father, what do we take away from that? What do we learn from this great Old Testament lesson? And that is what we are praying for here this morning, that somehow our hearts get stirred here this morning of something that we all just need to learn here about these three young men. So what's the lesson that you're going to teach us here this morning, Lord? Just make that known to us, make those truths known to us, and convict our hearts of maybe some things that we need to change. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's get into our lesson here this morning. This is week number 20, and it's going to be our final message in this series on Old Testament lessons. And today's message I have titled, "The Principles of Three Men." And this is also the final Sunday before Christmas Day of 2018. And somehow, I am going to connect the dots here this morning between a story of three men who are about to get thrown into a fiery furnace and the birth of our Savior. Somehow, I'm going to connect those dots together here this morning. If you're not familiar with the Old Testament story of Daniel and the fiery furnace. Allow me to explain what happens before verse 16 and some of the things that happen after verse number 16. First of all, the year that this is happening is about 590 BC. And the place is Babylon. And we know this, Babylon is a pagan country. At this time, there are many Jews living in Babylon. And it's not because Babylon is such a great place to live. It's because the Jews are being systematically exiled out of Israel into this land. They're being carried away by King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. It actually happens in three different time periods. The first one at 605 BC. Some of the people were exiled. 597 BC. That's when these three men were exiled. And then the big one, everybody else, the remainder of the Jews were exiled in 586 BC. So all the Jews are living in Babylon, in this pagan country, under this pagan king. Four of the many Jews that were carried away in this exile were Daniel, who is the writer and the main character in this book, and his three friends. We talked about them: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are actually their Babylonian names. They do have Hebrew names, which I don't have listed here, but they have Hebrew names. In the story before us, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, he erects a 90-foot high image, which is made of gold, the Bible tells us. More than likely, this image, this 90-foot high statue, was probably a representation of Nebuchadnezzar himself. And Nebuchadnezzar is planning a big celebration for the dedication of this image. And he invites all the high officials and tells everybody in the land to attend. And at this dedication celebration, music is going to begin to play. All these musical instruments are going to begin to play. And when they do, everybody is going to fall down and they are to worship this 90-foot high statue. Whoever does not fall down and worship the statue is going to be cast into the fiery furnace because of their disobedience. So the celebration begins, the music begins to play, and everybody falls down and worships the golden image. That is everyone except three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Among the Babylonians, there are some whistleblowers who inform the king that these three men are not complying with the king's orders. So in chapter 3, verse 15, they go to Nebuchadnezzar and they say this. But if you do not worship, they bring the men to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar tells the three guys this. If you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God, little g, is there who can deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar thinks he has this situation under control. These three guys are disobedient. Into the fiery furnace they're about to go. To put it mildly, the pressure is on. In verses 16 through 18 that we read earlier, we know how these men responded to this pressure. To sum it up and to paraphrase, they said something like this. King, go ahead and do with us whatever you want to do with us. But we assure you this, we will not bow down to that statue. It's not going to happen, King. It's not going to happen. And I'm certain we all know the rest of the story. Nebuchadnezzar is furious. No one dare talk to the king and be disobedient to the king like these guys were. Everybody is going to bow down. He is so angry that he tells the men to crank up the heat in the furnace, 7 times its normal heat. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the furnace. And the Bible tells us this, that the furnace is so hot that the men who threw them in are consumed by the fire. But incredibly, the three men are seen walking inside the furnace. And shortly afterwards, a fourth person is seen walking inside the furnace with them. Is it an angel? Well, possibly. Is it a pre-incarnate Jesus? Well, possibly. We don't know for sure. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not even harmed in this furnace at all. And Nebuchadnezzar sees this. And he's amazed, and he tells them to come out. So when he comes out, he tells them this. The satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Now, I need to just share this quick little personal story with you. Yesterday was my day that I went around our house, the inside of our house, and I tested all of our smoke alarms. It's something that should be done on a regular basis. And I had my pack of matches, and I'd strike a match, and I'd let it go out, and I'd let the smoke go up into the smoke detector, and hopefully if the smoke detector is working properly, it would buzz at me. After doing about 4 or 5 of these things, just from the little match, I had the smell of smoke on me. These guys are in a fiery furnace. And that furnace is seven times hotter than normal. And they come out, and there's not even the smell of fire on them. So what happens next? Well, we know this. The Lord obviously decided to miraculously save these three guys from the fiery furnace. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, he has a change of heart. And then he says this in verses 29 and 30. One minute, he throws them into the furnace because he's totally angry with them. And then he says this, therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be torn limb from limb and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap. Inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. Obviously, this man had a change of heart from what he saw, the miracle that he saw God do in the lives of these three men. Well, I'm sure most of us are probably familiar with this story. The story of the fiery furnace and the three guys. It's a happy ending. They come out unscathed. As a matter of fact, they even begin to prosper in the land of Babylon. So the big question this morning is this. How am I going to connect the dots between this story that we just heard and the birth of a Savior? Well, I'm going to give it my best shot, okay? Here's my best shot to connect three men who were thrown into a fiery furnace and the birth of a Savior. I am convinced that in today's lukewarm society, that there are many church people, even non-Christians, who will stand up for baby Jesus. And they want to keep that nativity scene on public property. They want to keep Christ in Christmas. They want everyone to say, Merry Christmas. Quit saying Happy Holidays. It's Christmas. Let's say Merry Christmas. It's that time of year. That's what we're going to do. Why are most people like that this time of year? It seems that most people at this time of year can tolerate baby Jesus. He's cute. He's harmless. He's innocent, and he's wrapped in swaddling clothes. The birth of Jesus seems to represent something good, and as the song says, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Yes, most people do love baby Jesus. As I heard somebody say this morning, it seems like most people are nice at this time of year. And that's a good thing. However, baby Jesus grows up. And the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus, and the certain return of Jesus forces every person on this planet to make a decision. And the question is this, that every person needs to decide. What are you going to do with Jesus? Jesus goes far beyond a child in a manger. And it's not, what do we do with baby Jesus? The question is, what do we do with big boy Jesus? You know, the Jesus that lived between the years of 30 years of age to 33 years of age. You know, the one that speaks and he takes every person to task. Well, here's a variety of some things that people can do with Jesus. You can accept him or you can dismiss him. You can love him or you can ignore him. You can embrace him. You can even say he never existed. You can say he was just a good teacher. You can say he was a liar, or he was a lunatic, or maybe you even say that he is Lord. You can worship him, or you can even mock him. You can follow him only because you want something. You can adore him when he is a baby, but you can hate him when he grows up. You can do all of these things and more with Jesus. But every person on this planet will do something with Jesus. And the question this morning that we all need to answer for ourselves is this: what have you done with Jesus? But beyond that, getting back to our lesson is, what do you do with Jesus when the pressure is on? When the pressure of persecution gets cranked up just a little bit? What do you do with Jesus when the furnace gets 7 times hotter than what it used to be? And the world is telling you, you need to comply with our world system. What are you going to do with Jesus? And I'm not talking about baby Jesus. I'm talking about big boy Jesus. When you're talking with your family, who is Jesus to you? When you are at work, who is Jesus to you? When you are out hunting or fishing, or you're at the gun store, or you're at Walmart, or you're at Target, or you're at Food Lion, or you're at a restaurant, or you're at Burger King, or you're at Sam's Hot Dogs, or you're out getting your hair done, or you're getting a manicure or a pedicure. When you're out there doing these things, who is Jesus to you when you're out there and not in here? Because in here, it's a safe place. But out there is where the persecution happens. Out there is where the furnace starts getting hot. And again, I'm not talking about baby Jesus, because everybody loves baby Jesus. How about me? Every Thursday night, I go out with a whole bunch of friends, and I play secular music. I play rock and roll at a vineyard. Who's Jesus to me when I'm out doing such things? Do I stand for him, or do I cave in to the pressure? And once again, I'm not talking about baby Jesus. I'm talking about big boy Jesus. And the real answer for any of us is only going to come about when the heat gets cranked up. When the world wants you to worship someone or something else. Because many people love Jesus, even love big boy Jesus, until that persecution comes, until I have to make a choice, until I either go there or I go to Jesus. One or the other. But you see, for these three young Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew what their answer was. And they knew that their answer wasn't going to compromise with anything Nebuchadnezzar was going to say. Bow down to the statue? Ain't happening. We'll go to the furnace instead. So we have one fill in the blank in our bulletin this morning, and it says this. So what is going to win when the pressure gets cranked up? Will it be the outward pressure of bowing to the statue and doing what the world wants us to do? Or is it going to be our inward principle? Which one is going to win? One or the other is going to win. Either the outward pressure is going to win, or our inward principle is going to win. These three young men were under the most severe pressure anybody could ever be under and anybody could ever experience. Either you bow down to the 90-foot statue, everybody, when the music plays, or you go burn in a fiery furnace. I don't know if I'd want to be confronted with that choice. But maybe someday I might be confronted with that choice. And let's face it, really, all they had to do for the brief moment of time, come on, guys, just go along with the program. Just bow down. What's it going to take you? 3 minutes, 4 minutes while the band's playing. You go bow down, and then when it's all over, you stand back up again, and you move on with life, just like nothing ever happened. Couldn't they just compromise their inward principles just for a momentary point in time? Nope. They couldn't do it. They knew with whom their hearts were dedicated. And what an example these three young men have set for all of us. They were not about to allow the outward pressure of death by a fiery furnace compromise their inward convictions and inward principles of their love and their devotion and their dedication to the God that they truly served. Again, I said this earlier, I'll say it again. I am convinced that in today's lukewarm society, that there are many church people who will stand up for baby Jesus and stand up for that nativity scene. And they want to keep Christ and Christmas. And I'll be honest with you, I'm for all those things too. But what happens to a lot of those same people when the pressure is on? What do the lukewarm people do when the heat gets cranked up? I'll give you the answer. They bow down to the statue. That is what they do. They give in to the world system. Because, you see, the outward pressure is greater than the inward principle. That's what lukewarm people do. The outward pressure will win over the inward principle. Why? Because when push comes to shove, the reality is this. They have no inward principle. All they have is lip service. Everything on the outside. Nothing on the inside. I know this for a fact, that everybody in here, including myself, we all love baby Jesus, don't we? We all love Jesus. We all love Christmas. But the question isn't, do we love baby Jesus? The question is, do we love big boy Jesus and what he stands for and what he says? In Mark chapter 8, verse 38, which is on the front of your bulletin, it says this, Jesus, the words of Jesus, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Yes, most of the world is not ashamed of baby Jesus and what Christmas represents. But baby Jesus eventually turns into big boy Jesus. And he has a message. And the message is narrow. And the message is convicting. And the message is demanding. And the message is absolute. And the message deserves a response from each and every one of us. For all of us here and anybody else out in the world, either you profess and possess the entire Jesus. That means from his birth, through his life, through his words, through his death, through his resurrection, through his ascension, and through the knowing that he's going to be returning. Either you buy into all of that or you don't possess any of them. You can't just possess baby Jesus without possessing big boy Jesus too. It's really that simple. And the one way that will determine where you and I really stand with Jesus is going to be the day that we encounter the proverbial fiery furnace, whatever that furnace may look like to us. So, what really wins this Christmas season and beyond? Is it going to be the outward pressure Or is it going to be an inward conviction? This morning I'm going to end by taking the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. And I'm going to use my sanctified imagination here a little bit, change up a few words that are going to be rather relevant to this message here this morning. These are the words of Jesus, and yes, I'm going to be changing them up to get the point across here this morning. Jesus says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not petition city council for a nativity scene on the courthouse grounds in your name? And in your name, did we not attend church on a regular basis, certainly on Christmas and on Easter? And in your name, didn't we perform many acts of kindness and giving, like all those coins, Lord, that I put into the Salvation Army bucket?'" You know that red one that everybody could hear the ding, ding, ding when I put those coins in? "Yeah, that one, Lord. And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity.'" What truly is your inward principle when the heat of the world starts getting cranked up in your life and in my life? I pray that it is an unswerving dedication to the Savior that we serve, like the principles of these three men here. The statue? I ain't bowing down to no statue. Throw me in the fiery furnace. Will that be the inward principle that we have? Because someday, folks, we're all going to be confronted. Maybe not with a fiery furnace that's cranked up to 220 degrees. But we're going to be confronted with something. How are we going to respond? Let's respond with the same principles that these three men had. And let's have a Merry Christmas. Let's pray.